Good morning and welcome to the First Presbyterian Church on this beautiful sunny Lord's Day. We certainly want to welcome. We've got several visitors in the congregation, and I want to extend a special welcome to the Reverend Dr. Bob Penny, who has filled this pulpit before, and he has come to share in our worship today and to celebrate the sacrament of infant baptism for his grandson. So we are so grateful for your presence and the presence of the family. And what we'll ask is, if you'll notice in the order of service, we have the installation of ruling elders immediately followed by the sacrament of infant baptism. So I'll ask those who are to be installed to come and stand over here, and at the same time, those who are going to participate in the baptism service to just come and sit on the front row so they can see what's going on, and then we can move right into the sacrament of infant baptism. So we look forward to that part of today's worship. So let's be called to worship. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let's stand as we worship our God in song. Let us pray. O Lord, we do give you thanks and praise that we are able today to stand within your gates. We know we are not worthy to come into your presence, but we thank you that by the perfect life and sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, you have torn the veil that lies between you and all those who trust in him. We thank you that you have made all your faithful people into a new temple, the very body of Christ. And so we ask that you would accept our worship today. Hear our prayers, even as we offer them in the name of the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And since we're installing new ruling elders today, let's turn in our scriptures for our responsive reading. Let's take up our pew Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll read the first 7 verses, which means I will begin and end. I'll read the odd-numbered verses and invite the congregation to respond with the even-numbered verses interspersed. So 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, reading through verse 7, with the congregation reading the even-numbered verses. Let's read this portion of God's Word responsively. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock.
And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away.
Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Let's again celebrate the gift of God's church as we take up our hymnals now. We'll turn to selection 209. Selection 209. We'll sing all the stanzas and let us stand to sing.
Thank you.
We have sung God's praise for the gift of His church. Let us now confess the faith of the church using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you find inside the front cover of your hymnal. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
May be seated, and with those who are being installed and those who will be participating in the sacrament of baptism, please come forward at this time. Will the elders newly to be installed please face the congregation and answer the following questions. Do you now reaffirm the vows that you took upon your ordination, and do you recommit yourself to them in the discharge of your obligations? Do you? Will you seek to be faithful and diligent in the exercise of all your duties as a Christian and a ruling elder, whether personal or interpersonal, private or public, and to endeavor by the grace of God to adorn the profession of the gospel in your manner of life, and to walk with exemplary piety before this congregation of which God will make you overseer? Will you? Are you now willing to accept the call of this church as ruling elder, and relying upon God for strength, promise to discharge to it the duties required of that office? Are you? And this question is for the members of the congregation. Do you, the members of this congregation, continue to receive these persons as ruling elders? And do you continue your promise to yield them and all your officers all that honor, encouragement, and obedience in the Lord to which the ordination as an officer entitles them, according to the Word of God and the Constitution of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church? Do you? Let us pray. O eternal and ever-blessed God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of your infinite mercy has chosen to yourself a church, which you have ruled by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, and yet have used the service of men, as in preaching your word and administering your sacraments, so also in guiding your flock and providing for the poor. We commend unto you those whom we install in the office of the eldership. Set apart, O Lord, these your servants to the work to which they have been called by the voice of the church. Endue them abundantly with heavenly wisdom. Grant them your grace, that they may live godly lives, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, ruling in the fear of God. Give them that favor and influence with the people which come from following Christ. So fill them with His Spirit, that they may lead this congregation in His service. Make them faithful unto death, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, may they receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. For we offer this prayer in His name and for His sake. Amen. By the authority of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church and the church session of this congregation, I declare that Kenny Strawn and John Lindsay Tari have been duly and properly installed as ruling elders of this congregation in accordance with the Word of God and the laws of this church. As such, they are entitled to be given support, encouragement, honor, and obedience in the Lord, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Greetings, blessed congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a delight for me to return here and be before you as I have on several other occasions, wonderful occasions, preaching in this congregation and of course being here for the wedding of our covenant parents here today, my son Edward and Mandy Strawn Penny. And I delight to be here with these wonderful people, Kenny and Flo Strawn and their family. And I also have with me Mrs. Jimmy Shorter, our daughter Elizabeth, and their two children, Will and Lily. All covenant children, servants of the covenant, as we all are, due to our heritage in the new covenant of our Lord Jesus Christ, which began with our great father Abraham, with whom the Lord made a covenant. And Abraham became his friend and followed him. Not perfectly, he too was a sinner like we are, and only saved by the good grace of God demonstrated in the blood of the covenant in the Old Testament, and then, as Jesus said in his last meeting with his disciples, sharing the bread and the cup, about which he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant." So we are all heirs of the covenant of grace, and we rejoice in that, and this evangelical church is one that proclaims the merits of Jesus Christ as we do. And as we come to this sacrament of covenant baptism, we understand that it's not the water that saves this new young child, John David Penny, or any of the rest of us, but it is the merits of Jesus Christ, because we know Christ. We are a friend of Christ. We follow him. He has called us to take up our cross and follow him. And we, in our own ways, seek to take up that cross and follow the Lord in obedience and service. And I rejoice that this church has served the Lord for going into two centuries. And there have been believers in the Lord Jesus Christ all that time. And we join with you, and I feel so comfortable here among evangelical Christians, those that share this same faith that we proclaim faithfully. And then we rejoice here today because of the setting that God has put us into by his providence. He has blessed our family with now three sons in addition to some other children. And they have all taken seriously their covenant vows. And that is why we are here today, to hear and receive this new covenant child into the family officially. And so we are glad to gather here and remember that the Lord promised Abraham, "I will be a God to you and to your children." And he also proclaimed through his other messengers, the Apostle Peter, as he was asked on the great day of Pentecost, "What must I do to be saved?" He responded, "For to you is the promise, and to your children and all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call to him. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto you and to your seed after you." And then when someone else asked in a desperate moment in the earthquake in the Philippian jail, "What must I do to be saved?" he was told, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and your house." So this is our great foundation for the fact that we will baptize this new covenant child. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we do rejoice to come to this hour now. It is especially wonderful as we all love little children, and we are so delighted that our Heavenly Father loves children, and we know our Savior did from what we read in the New Testament, how He welcomed children and said to them, "Come unto Me." And we rejoice today in that wonderful tradition. So as we hear these parents make their covenant vows, we stand in great praise and honor to You for Your grace toward us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we ask the covenant parents and others to stand with them here at this time. And we want to be quick about this because as I asked his brother Charlie the other afternoon after they had spent a morning with me, "What do you think John David is doing now?" He said, "Well, he's either eating or sleeping or crying." So before he goes into this third thing, we're going to proceed. So let me ask the parents here, do you acknowledge your child's need of the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ and the renewing grace of the Holy Spirit? Do you? Do you claim God's covenant promises in His behalf? And do you look in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ for His salvation as you do for your own? Do you now unreservedly dedicate your child to God in promise and humble reliance upon divine grace, that you will endeavor to set before him a godly example, and that you will pray with him and for him, that you will teach him the doctrines of our holy religion, and that you will strive by all the means of God's appointment to bring him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Do you? Now a question for the congregation. You can give assent by the uplifted hand. Do you as a congregation promise to assist the parents in the Christian nurture of this child? Do you? Thank you. We rejoice to do this today, one reason being the Barlin family has been in this church for 8 generations, and of course the Strawn family has joined in that as well, and we are delighted to set this boy before the Lord Jesus Christ. What is this child's name?
John David Penny.
John David Penny, child of the covenant, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we do rejoice to come today and participate in this ceremony, this recognition of your covenant mercies. We thank and praise you that we can come now to this. Abraham was promised that he would see his children and his children's children, and what a delight that is to see them desire to follow you. And so we do pray for John David Penny and all covenant children that they may profess their Savior in due time and give their lives to him and enjoy eternal life with him forever and ever. Thank you now for this, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, John David, for waiting.
Let's continue our worship now as we take up our hymnals. We'll turn to selection 216 as we give thanks to God for this sacrament we have just experienced. We'll sing all three stanzas of hymn 216. Let us stand to sing. You may be seated. We do have many reasons to give God thanks and praise this day, don't we? So with hearts that are full of joy, let us go before the Lord's throne, giving Him thanks and praise. Let us pray. Our Lord, we do give You thanks and we do give You praise for the gift of covenant children. During the season we have just concluded, our Father, we recall that You came to earth in the form of a little baby boy, one very much like the one we have just seen baptized. And Father, we don't understand how You can be God and man at the same time. We certainly don't understand why You would choose to come into the world in such a helpless way. But we thank You that the Lord Jesus Christ has experienced human life from its very beginning. And we thank You, Lord, for the covenant children that You have entrusted to us. We thank You, O Lord, for the opportunity that we have to set an example before them, to show them what it means to live the Christian life in our world, in our time. But Lord, we have to confess that we have not always done a good and consistent job of presenting a Christian example before our children. Lord, it is so easy for us to fall prey to all the sorts of sins to which Jesus was tempted, yet He without sin. Lord, we get frustrated when things in our families don't work out the way that they should, frustrated with parents or children or siblings. Lord, it's so easy for us to get wrapped up in the things of this world, all the activities that we have, all of the needs that need to be met. It's so easy for us to allow this world to crowd out You and what You have called us to do and who You have called us to be. And Lord, sometimes we have to confess that in the pressure of our daily circumstances, we forget You, or sometimes, Lord, we just imagine that we know best. And we turn aside from what Your Word teaches, and we live according to our own wisdom, our own experience. And when we do that, Lord, we're not just letting You down. We're letting down the children who are watching us too. And so, Lord, we ask Your forgiveness, that You would indeed help us, Lord, to live lives that are more consistently like Jesus. Lord, we ask that You would help us to live lives that live up to the example of our ruling elders that is set before us. And Lord, to do that, we're going to need Your help. We can't do it on our own. And so we pray for a fresh infilling of Your Holy Spirit this day. We pray, O Lord, that You would pour out Your Spirit upon us, that we might see and hear Your truth as it is presented in Your Word. but that we might not just understand with our minds. Lord, we pray that you would fill us so with your Holy Spirit that our hearts might be changed, that our encounter with the Word, our encounter with you in prayer, our encounter with you with the sacraments would truly be life-changing, and that we would grow more and more into the likeness of Christ for His sake, for the sake of your church, and especially for the sake of the children who watch us. Help us, Lord, to be like Jesus. Help us to live the life of Christ by the infilling of your Spirit. For we offer this prayer in His name and for His sake. Amen. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Let us respond to God's love and grace as we give unto the Lord His tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. Lord, you have filled us up with so many gifts. You have blessed us in so many ways. We know there is nothing we can do or say that could possibly repay you for all of your gifts to us. And yet we would give from hearts full of love for you and gratitude. And so we pray that you would take these gifts that we offer unto you and use them however you will. Indeed, we pray that you would take us and use us to accomplish your will. For we offer this prayer in the name of Christ and for His sake. Amen. Well, today, as we celebrate the installation of ruling elders and the sacrament of baptism, we turn in our scriptures to Ephesians chapter 4, celebrating God's gift of the church. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll begin with verse 4 and read through verse 14. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, and we'll read through verse 14. This is the word of the Lord. Paul writes, "There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's God's word for God's people. And it is the time of the year for New Year's resolutions. I won't ask which resolutions you made in this new year, but according to the Nielsen Company, the most popular resolution at this time last year was to stay fit and healthy. The next most popular was to lose weight. And that means that this is the time of the year when people are at least recognizing that they need to do some bodybuilding, whether or not they ever act on those good intentions. But in today's passage, we are reminded that there is another body to which all those who trust in Jesus Christ belong, the body of Christ. And right off the bat, Paul reminds us in verse 4 that there is only one body, only one true church that exists all over the world and throughout time. And the word we use to describe the universal nature of this church is Catholic. That's why we use that word in the Apostles' Creed. We profess our faith in the Holy Catholic Church, meaning the Holy Universal Church. And it is because there's only one body of Christ that one part of it can act for the whole church. That's why John David could be baptized here, even though his parents are members of another congregation in another town. And that's why Dr. Penny, a PCA minister, can conduct the baptism here in an EPC church. We know that all those who love and trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior belong to this one universal or Catholic church. And the sacrament we celebrated this morning also expresses our connection to this one body, our connection to Christ. According to the Westminster Confession of Faith, baptism is a sign and a seal of the covenant of grace. And that's why it's especially appropriate that the children of believers receive this mark, this testimony, that they belong to the family of God. For where it comes to God's grace, we are all as helpless as infants. When we trust in Christ, we simply receive grace. We receive the forgiveness and the welcome that none of us deserve, but that we all so desperately need. Now, this, of course, doesn't mean that once a child is baptized, that's the end of the story. We pray that's just the beginning of the story. John David will one day need to respond to God's grace the same way that his parents and his grandparents and his great-grandparents have done, by putting his faith in Christ. As Paul says in verse 13, as he becomes a mature man, he will need to gain greater knowledge of the Son of God. So, how will he gain that knowledge? How will he grow in grace? Well, in verse 12, Paul explains God's plan for edifying, for building up the whole body of Christ. And that plan involves another one of the gifts that we have celebrated today, the gift of church leaders. Now, in verse 11, Paul mentions some of these leaders. He mentions apostles and prophets, men who wrote and approved the writings that have come to be known as the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. With the completion of the Bible, these offices are no longer necessary. But of course, we still have evangelists, those who spread the good news. and we have pastors and teachers. And some denominations are structured so that there's only one pastor teacher for each congregation, only one elder in each congregation. But we Presbyterians do things differently. We are, after all, a peculiar people. We have a group of elders that lead such a group of elders in each congregation. The pastor or the teaching elder is only one member of the session, which is made up of a majority of ruling elders. In fact, at least in part because of the teaching of the Apostle Peter in our responsive reading, we believe that pastors and ruling elders have the same authority. Peter reminds his readers that he is an apostle, an eyewitness of the suffering of Christ, and yet he also calls himself an elder, a fellow elder, just like those who led the congregation that he was writing to, the congregations of the early church. And what did Peter teach those other elders to do, to join him in doing? To feed the flock that had been entrusted to their care. And that's really the same thing that Paul told the pastors and teachers to do in our passage from Ephesians, isn't it? He said that the leaders of the church were to edify, were to build up the body of Christ, to become more and more like Christ, to help all of us grow toward greater unity of faith, greater knowledge of the Son of God. And so, John David doesn't just have his mom and dad to look to for examples of the Christian faith. He doesn't even have his grandparents or his great-grandparents. As all of you raised your hands on behalf of the whole church of God, he has a church family all over the world to help him learn how to live the Christian life. And he's going to have ruling elders to help him learn how to apply the Word of God in his everyday life. And I think that the nature of the task of the ruling elder explains in part why more than one elder is really needed for every congregation. Most obviously, having more than one elder multiplies the work that can be done. The pastor can't teach all the Sunday school classes, for example. In fact, because this pastor serves two congregations, I can't teach any of the Sunday school classes. But perhaps more importantly, the pastor isn't the only example for Christian living that the congregation needs. For example, I can't show you in my daily life how to live as a Christian husband and father. I don't have a wife and I don't have children. So for an example of how to do that, you're going to have to look to those ruling elders who are married and who have raised children. And of course, today we've seen some good examples of what powerful influence a husband and a father can have over many generations. We've seen a couple of examples, haven't we? So, as we begin the new year, let's resolve not just to edify our physical bodies, not just to build up our physical bodies, although that is certainly a good thing to do. Let's resolve to use all of God's good gifts, all the means of grace by which God intends for the body of Christ to be built up. Let's celebrate the sacraments. We enjoyed the Lord's Supper last week. We witnessed a baptism this week. Let's celebrate the one holy Catholic Church, the body of Christ, in fellowship and worship. And let's seek to learn more of the church's teaching and to follow the example of its elders, its leaders. And in that way, may we all experience more of the fullness of Christ in this new year. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for your church. We thank you for new church members. We thank you for elders who show us how to live the Christian life. We thank you, oh Lord, for the Word of God written. We thank you for the Word of God living in the person of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit who indwells all those who love and trust Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your church in all its manifestations all over the world. And we pray, our Father, that you would continue to fill us with these means of grace that we might live as becomes followers of Christ, as becomes members of the body of Christ. Help us to do that this new year. For we pray this in his name and for his sake. Amen. Well, let's take up our hymnals and celebrate the gift of God's church. We turn to selection 203. Selection 203. We'll sing all the stanzas and let us stand to sing. Now, to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.